Hey, I'm Lance Frazier.
Name is Rosie Burton.
My name is Trey Mason.
You're listening to the Piffles Podcast.
I'm Cameron Marshall, and you're listening to the Piffles Podcast.
Stay tuned.
Episode 102 of the Piffles Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Alex.
I am Steve.
I'm still Greg.
Still?
Still.
Sure.
Were you thinking of changing?
Maybe. I don't know.
Just had enough of Greg?
Try something else on.
I've had enough of Greg.
Oh, well, we can try something new next year, too.
Yeah. There's a shirt for you. I've had enough of Greg.
That's a good shirt.
I would buy that shirt.
I think we should have one of those in the shop for all of us. I think that's a great idea. Thanks so much for joining us. You can find us on Twitter, at PifflesPod. You can follow me at RealAlexD.
You can find me at Safamud.
Follow me at Greg on Sports.
We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. Check us out on Instagram. Just search PifflesPod. And, of course, our website, PifflesPodcast.com. And that's where you're going to find most of the off-season stuff is on the website. So bookmark that, and you'll see lots of good rider talk this off-season. Sadly, the off-season is upon us here in Saskatchewan. The Piffles Podcast, your premier Saskatchewan Rough Riders fan podcast. Brought to you by Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive in Regina. Check out the great happy hour drink specials, half price Monday to Friday, 2 to 5 p.m.
And they got a cheeseburger deal.
Cheeseburger lovers deal. You don't even need the coupons that are coming out in the mail. Just take a screenshot and take it to them.
I love their cheeseburger deal.
Double for $2.49 and a triple for $3.49. Oh.
All the cheeseburgers.
Yeah. So check that out. It's a little bit cold outside. It's actually better this week, but we're in that cold season, get a nice hot hamburger.
Where the hell was this weather on Sunday?
Yeah, well, we'll talk about the weather in just a second. On the show, Robert, we have our opening kickoff presented by Kathy Festian of Royal LePage Regina Realty. And there's really only one thing to talk about, so I'm sure you guys can probably guess what that's going to be. We'll have our division final, quick little previews, and our game picks for the CFL division finals. But time to get started. Here's the opening kickoff.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Headshots. This has become a thing in the CFL. It's open season on quarterbacks. And it's unacceptable. I have no problems. We could talk about the loss. 23-18, Riders losing to Winnipeg. Winnipeg moving on to face Calgary in the West Final. And we could lament on how bad the offense was, how
bad the tackling was.
It was a poor performance. The defense was solid until the fourth quarter when basically they got gassed and couldn't stop Andrew Harris.
And that's why Winnipeg has Andrew Harris.
Exactly. Wore us down and ripped off big runs. But we can talk about that in a minute. But the headshot on Brandon Bridge with, 8 seconds left in the game? Blatant headshot. Head-to-head by Jackson Jeffcoat.
No, it was a shoulder shot. Ask him. Oh, and his
ask Michael Shea. Coach.
And they rewatched the video, and it was very obvious that he... I'm buying O'Shea for Christmas, or anyone who knows O'Shea, buy him an Anatomy for Dummies book, please.
I want to go to whatever legal medicinal marijuana shop that Mike O'Shea must have been visiting before he watched that video.
I get him defending his player. You're sticking up for your players at all times. That's kind of the coach's job, right?
Sure.
I get it. But the visual evidence is there. It was clear helmet-to-helmet hit. Now, I said this in my takes too. Brandon Bridge is 6'5". If you're hitting a guy who's 6'5" in the head, you're aiming pretty damn high to begin with. Why are you aiming that high to begin with?
Well, and you said it best, the visual evidence was there, but Mike O'Shea has taken the route of, what are you going to believe, what you see or what I tell you? That's basically what he's trying to do. He's trying to throw that doubt into people's mind, but there is none. It was as clear a headshot as you can get in this league, watching Bridges' head snap back.
And that's back-to-back games for the Riders. Odell Willis taking out Zach Kolaros in the Riders' final season game, and final regular season game. And you could argue that was the reason why the Riders didn't win this one. It was because we were relegated to a backup who's not a pro quarterback whatsoever in Brandon Bridge instead of our starting quarterback, Zach Kolaros. Not like Zach Kolaros is lighting the world on fire, throwing 9 touchdown passes and 11 interceptions, whatever he threw this year. But the team was much better with him at the helm than Brandon Bridge.
The parallels to the 2007 Grey Cup are just baffling to me.
It was almost the same score, too.
1 point off. And it was just, yeah, you lose your starting quarterback the week before. You got a guy who's obviously not ready to take the reins, and a sloppy football game where nothing can seem to click. Nothing gets out of second gear. And, yeah, it's just, I think if Kolaris was in the game, the Riders probably would have won that game.
I don't think there's any doubt in my mind. You look at the passes that Brandon Bridge missed. There were three clear touchdown passes that he ducked on. And we're not talking about, you know, a slight misstep in a throw. These were just absolute ducks.
I don't think I saw him throw a spiral till the fourth quarter.
To be fair, it was cold. That ball's not very easy to throw in that condition.
And I'm not saying that's it too, but we can throw a lot on Brandon Bridge's play in this one, but the play calling also made no sense. The only time he actually seemed to have the offense rolling, they yank him out and put him Watford in for that obvious run. And the zone read only works if you actually read the zone. And
yeah, the moment Watford steps on the field, everybody in the stadium, including the defense, knows there's a 0% chance that ball's going in the air. 0%.
Well, he had to throw the long bomb for the Hail Mary.
And we saw how that worked.
Yeah, well, that's why he hasn't thrown since August.
So obviously play calling's an issue. You guys decided that Stephen McAdoo's going to be back.
Oh, God.
We'll get to that. But I want to get back to this hit. And this is aimed towards the CFL. Fix this. This is not a hard thing to fix. I get it. I will defend some of the players in the fact that when they were growing up, they were trained to hit the way that they hit now. It's going to take a generation of new young players who are learning how to tackle properly and not aim with their head and hit to the head before this is going to be completely eliminated. It's not an overnight fix. But at the same time, you need to teach the players now, guys like Kyrie Saber, guys like Jackson Jeffcoat, who did this last year as well, guys like Odell Willis that are doing these headshots. Do you maybe get the targeting rule that they have in the NCAA? 15-yard penalty and you're out of the game, regardless of whether it was intentional or not?
Absolutely.
The NFL changed that before their season started. And I get it. You can't really change things mid-season. But the CFL decided, oh, hey, you can't chug a beer. Let's change the rules mid-season. Oh, hey, too many coaches are throwing fishing challenges. Let's change that mid-season. That's a rule challenge. You don't even have... Chris Jones couldn't even challenge this, because he had to waste it on a blatantly obvious pass interference penalty that wasn't called against Winnipeg on Naaman Roosevelt, where he was held. Like, there's no reason that this imaginary eye in the sky can't review this and make a play on, or make a call on this, especially when the quarterback's down the ground for 10 minutes because he has a concussion.
And I saw someone try to... Some people were trying to defend the league. Well, this obviously has... Anything dealing with player discipline has to be collectively bargained. Yes and no. If they were going to change the suspension rules, that's one thing. Calling the play on the field as it stands can be done like that, as proven by what the CFL has done in the past.
They're not changing the penalty itself. They're changing how it's called. And there's no doubt in my mind, if they wanted it done, they could have done it. After the first few times we saw headshots this year. Like, let's not act like this is a new thing in the last couple of weeks.
And it's not just the Riders. Mike Riley, one hit by Zach Evans.
Yep.
That should have been flagged.
Yeah.
And we'll be the first ones to admit that.
Yep. And it's not just... And unfortunately, it's not just the quarterbacks are getting hit. There's been other players that have been taking some high shots when they're in defenseless positions where the same rule could probably apply. Why the eye in the sky can't go, hey, give me a minute to take a look at this hit again, when they, early this year, I think it was against Montreal, they had like 5 minutes trying to get the ball spot right because the eye in the sky called it down. And I think it was a Peru game anyway, because they kept on moving the ball back and forth, and I was looking at Peru like, what the hell's going on?
The league needs to step back and be honest with themselves. Until they show on the field that they give a damn about player safety, I'm tired of hearing about it.
They clearly don't.
No.
And I like Randy Ambrosi as commissioner. Mm-hmm. I like what he's doing. He's doing a lot of good initiatives with the league, and I think he's going to be a very good commissioner. But player safety has to be your number one, because without the players, especially star quarterbacks, because there's so few quality quarterbacks in this league, let alone all-star quarterbacks in this league, you want them healthy.
Yep. You know what it reminds me of, and it's a terrible parallel to say, thoughts and prayers. Every time the CFL goes, oh yeah, player safety is important, it reminds me of every time there's a shooting in the States, and every politician goes, thoughts and prayers, then do something about it. Don't just go, hey, we're going to look at it. Do it.
It's lip service. That's all it is. And until Commissioner Ambrosi walks the walk, talking the talk doesn't do anything. It's a waste of time. And if you listen to any of his interviews this week, he just went around in circles, and it was literally just, oh, well, we have to look at it. Oh, we have to look at it. Look at it.
And this isn't even a new thing this year.
If this happened in week one, what are you going to do? Wait till the next season to do this? No, this should happen right away. There's absolutely no excuse for this league to not have something in place. Not saying drastically change rules. If you want to add the targeting thing, yeah, sure, save that for the offseason and implement penalties like that. But for this eye in the sky who can call procedure calls, can't call headshots?
But player safety matters, guys.
It's unacceptable.
But especially considering they had the ref cam on, and it was he couldn't see. I get it. It happens.
Yep.
But that's why you got the eye in the sky with the 42 man. Or 42. I can't do math. But anyway,
24.
There you go. Thank you. I'm fired up tonight. Anyway. But it's ridiculous.
Now, that penalty would have given the Riders 15 yards and would have made that Hail Mary, well, closer.
Mm-hmm.
Probably still wouldn't have got to the goal line because the Riders were backed up pretty deep in their own zone.
Would have been at the Winnipeg 50-yard line.
That's still a long throw on a Hail Mary.
He got a lot on it. He got to their 10-yard line. That 15 yards probably would have hit the end zone, but it's still...
It's a Hail Mary for a win. I'm not going to act like that play or that the non-call cost us the game.
Oh, no. The lack of offense cost the Riders shot themselves in the foot the entire game. That's what cost them the game.
I got to say, offensive lineman Thaddeus Coleman kind of said it best. He says, you can't blame the refs. They did a great job. They let us play, except for obviously that one penalty at the non-penalty at the end. But they did let them play. The only things that they called were like offsides and the one eventual pass interference. But that was basically all that they called the entire game. So they did let them play, and it was great. I respect that. And Coleman said it best. It was our offense. We kicked field goals. We had the ball. We were moving the ball in the first quarter, first half. We kicked field goals. You're not going to win professional football by only kicking field goals.
And
that was that's the story of the Riders' season in one line.
Winnipeg played this game perfectly. They all they had to do was move the ball and not make mistakes, not take chances, let things happen. Because they knew our offense wasn't going to push the field often enough, especially with Bridge at the helm. Our wins, for the most part, came on the backs of special teams and defensive touchdowns. They didn't give us those. Our special teams was great. Field position was great, which makes their lack of offense even worse. Because how many of those touchdowns were because our return team got us deep into Winnipeg territory? We said it all year. This offense was awful. And
that's what cost this team in the long run.
Because we had a championship-level defense. Easily.
And this defense is never going to be the same again.
Oh.
You look at that list of free agents, this defense is... A lot of it's going to be spread to the wind.
Well, and we'll go through our list of free agents in a later show when we're not recapping games. But guys like Willie Jefferson, Sam McGuavin, are basically our entire defensive line, except for Charleston Hughes, are all free agents. So
it's going to be an interesting offseason.
Between no CBA in place and, once one is hopefully put in place, guys going somewhere else, free agency, NFL shots, it is going to be a different defense. And it was this season is a waste because of that. If they had an average quarterback, they win that game against Hamilton, or they win that game against Winnipeg.
Mm-hmm.
If they didn't blow that game against Montreal, they would have had the bye, and who knows, maybe Zach Claros would have been ready by the Western Final.
And that was a big storyline going into the game, too, was Zach Claros. He practiced the first day, took all the reps, but I do have to say, kudos to, one, Zach Claros for going to the coaching staff and saying, you know what, I don't feel 100%. I still feel like I'm not there. And to Chris Jones for putting his player first and saying, well, if you're not ready, I'm not risking you. Especially for a guy that had two other concussions this season and had some before and other injury issues. So it would have been easy to force him to play because, hey, you're pretty much there. You're our starting quarterback. You're going to play. And Claros probably would have. But kudos to Chris Jones and the coaching staff and Zach Kleros for putting long-term player health first.
You know, I know we had an age-old thing that we used to do, calling people out, and we've kind of stopped that. But there's a couple, not names, but people that I got to call out for some garbage I saw after this game on Twitter, especially. If you're out there calling out a guy for not starting because he's not feeling right after having concussion issues, you're an idiot. Straight up. It's stupid to risk a player's future, especially their mental and head health, over a football game. I don't care if it's the Grey Cup. I don't care if it's the West semifinal. This is a guy's life, his future, and he's not less of a man because he didn't step onto the field when he wasn't feeling 100% after a shot to the head.
He's more of a man for going absolutely to his coaches and to his boss, basically, and saying, I'm not right. Don't put me in there because I don't want to hurt this team.
And say what you want. This is the reason why players love Chris Jones. He is a player's coach. Mm-hmm. And as much as Rider fans hate him, and as much as he pissed off the old guard with Dressler and Chick, he still takes care of his players.
But now that fired me up to no end. And I've... For the most part, I've held back and haven't said some of the things I want to say, but
yeah, but
I got a beer in my hands.
Karma will get them in the end too.
It's just straight up stupid. Don't be stupid.
I know what you're doing.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't get me started on karma on this one. Anyway, I just want to throw one other thing from that game out. I just want to say that it was a really terrible game for Coby Caulfield to decide to be a pylon.
Oh, he was
absolute trash in that game. Great all season long. At left tackle, you never heard his name. He was bad. Not the game to do it. Anyway, this is still a good core of a team going into 2019, but that'll be something for us to look at once the season ends. Other Rider news, let's get to really quick here. Marcus Thigpen, running back, signing a one-year contract extension. He was set to become a free agent, but now he's locked up through 2019. You guys think that's a good move?
100%.
Great move. Honestly, he was going to be one of my top five signings if he didn't already sign. despite the age, low mileage, and dude can be a game breaker.
He's not an every down back, but you throw him in there and he can do it. So if you get kind of that thunder lightning, Cameron Marshall's going to be a free agent, but who knows what's going to happen with the other running backs. But having a home run hitter like that in the lineup, you got to have impact players. He's one of them.
Well, worst case, we'll have Marcus Thigpen and Trey Mason back.
Yeah, Trey Mason's under contract. So.
Yeah. I mean, there's your thunder and lightning right there. Great signing.
And Javon Johnson tweeting that he's not going to be back, and that's not his decision. We kind of saw this coming throughout the second half of the year when he was scratched and wasn't put on the roster. He got passed by Lucius Purifoy, Matt Elam throughout the year, and they wanted Crezdon Butler instead of him in the playoff game. And as much as Javon was having a pretty good year to start, the community is going to miss him more. He was such a great community man. And that's where we're going to miss him the most.
Hell of a guy, hell of a man. Great player, but like I said, you could see near the end of the season, he just wasn't going to get back in. And that was the end.
He wasn't happy. He was frustrated about it.
And he wasn't hiding it.
Understandably so. Yeah, he was all over Instagram, doing Instagram lives, and he clearly wasn't happy. But he said, I get the business. This is what the coaches want. I'm going to come in and do exactly what they asked me to. And he did.
And I love what he said, that he, even if he's not a Rider next year or not in the CFL, he wants to make Canada his home. This is where he wants to be.
And that's super cool. I love hearing it. Henry Burris did that and got his Canadian citizenship. And I'd like to see more American players come and do that. So hopefully that's something.
Especially a guy like that who's, like you said, he's a great community guy. Look what he did with our event, with the Piffles Bowl. Came out. No charge, just came out, had a good time with...
on his bye week.
Drove back from Winnipeg that morning.
Just to get there in time for,
bunch of
basically a bunch of guys playing touch football and just stand-up guy. Wish him the best.
Bunch of fundraisers for Lyme disease as well, too. Yep. So, great guy, but unfortunately it doesn't look like he'll be back with us next year. And the other thing, the Riders had to cut about half a dozen coaches. This is because the CFL is implementing that new coaches salary cap next season, and you can only have 28 management or coaching positions combined. 11 of them can be coaches, and the Riders have about 30 of them right now. Everybody's a coach, it seems like. But everyone that's left, But everyone that's left, Chris Jones has said, will take a 10% pay cut, and that includes him. And when you include Chris Jones' salary, that's
quite a bit of money back.
$75,000 at least right there, so that's all right. But the big thing, and we alluded to this earlier, Stephen McAdoo, offensive coordinator, will be back next year. We all knew that because he's Chris Jones' guy. They're buddies. As long as Jones is here, McAdoo's here. Sorry, fans. That's just the way it's going to be. But it's just interesting to see, because we complained about the play calling all season. We didn't complain about play calling last year when the team was putting up 35 points a game. So what is it? Is it lack of talent on the field this year? Was it Stephen McAdoo being a bad offensive coordinator? Because I don't really think it was McAdoo's problem looking back at it now. You look at it, ton of changes on the offense. You don't have those 3,000-yard receivers anymore. Our leading receiver was a rookie who had 760 yards.
What a change.
So what else is he supposed to do? Because if these guys don't really fully understand the leagues and how to use the waggle properly and routes and concepts of a CFL offense, which is much different than an NFL offense, you're kind of limiting your playbook. You can probably take your playbook and cut it in half and cut it in half again because we're playing rookies because of all injuries. So is it really Stephen McAdoo's fault?
I still say a large chunk of the offensive problems lay on his shoulders. There was no creativity for most of the year. And I understand, again, you're playing with a bunch of rookies, you have to dumb it down, but you can't go as predictable as we saw for 15 weeks of the year. I can't think of more than a handful of games where we really saw anything that was different. I'm not a fan. I don't like this. I would very much like to have a throwing up in my mouth sound effect right here as we're talking about this. There you go. But, you said it best. He was good last year. Maybe we'll get back to that.
But at the same time, if it's obvious the system that you're trying to implement is not working, you got to change something up. You got to be able to make that adjustment. And they just kept doing the same thing over and over again that wasn't producing consistently. Like, yeah, you had the occasional game where all of a sudden they actually got to 35 points and we all got $50 off Cal Tire. Yay. But how many games was it? It took them until the fourth quarter to get 187 yards on offense so they could do that Kinexus giveaway. Like,
almost every one of those was in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it's, if something's not working, you gotta find something that does work. And he just seemed to be, nope, this is my game plan, and we're sticking with it.
You can only fit around a square peg in a round hole. You
just need a bigger enough hammer.
Yeah, that's what he was going for. It just wasn't working.
Combination. I don't think Stephen McAdoo is as bad as he's being played out to be, but I don't think he's that good, if we're being completely honest.
But here's the problem. Next year we're starting off, I guarantee you next year we're starting with a new quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
So that means it's a complete reset on the offense again.
You know, the one thing that makes
me
laugh...
Which might not be a bad thing, actually. Yeah.
The one thing that makes me laugh is we've seen a lot of... Well, he won a Grey Cup with Mike Riley. Have you seen Mike Riley's stats from the season they won the Grey Cup and the seasons that followed? And how much different they are and how much better he has been since McAdoo has left?
How many less wins he's had, too?
I was going to say that Edmonton's defense was a lot better back then than it is now.
And actually look at the contrast right now with the Riders. Their defense is a strong point. Yep. And the team sacrificed offense for defense this year.
Did they ever?
When you look at, getting Willie Jefferson, who's making a pretty penny, signing him last year to an extension. Getting Charleston Hughes and signing him to a new deal. Like, this team focused on defense. And the defense was great. I will never say anything bad about this defense for how they played the entire season. Like, realistically, you're giving up 23 points. You should win in the CFL.
But you need to... There needs to be more balance. It can't be... You can't rely on your defense and special teams to score to win you football games.
Here's the question. Take away the receivers. Would this team have been better not to trade for Zach Caleros?
Left
Kevin Glenn, which led the league last year in touchdowns. Yes, you're going to lose your... Eventually, Duran, because he's going to flake out. And the cut Bakari, but would this team have been better with Kevin Glenn over Zach Caleros, considering how injury-prone Caleros was and this offense just couldn't click?
Yes.
Hindsight, yes. Although, to be fair, I was also one of those guys that was like, put Drew Tate in the second half of this last game, because that's how bad Brandon Bridge was.
I wanted to see all four behind the center. I was hoping it. I'm like, we need one more for the quarterback bingo here.
Yeah. But there's lots to talk about. There's going to be no shortage of topics this offseason, and that's good for us. That'll just mean more to talk about.
Keep us busy.
The quarterback, we're in 24 behind center in the CFL. That would have been amazing.
Screw it. Just make Nick.
His number was 24.
Yeah, Drew Tate came out. He was wearing sweats over for the game, too. He's had his game pants on underneath, I'm assuming, but... Maybe not, yeah.
He takes off his sweats. Crap, I knew I forgot to do something. They said I wouldn't play.
If it was Henry Burris, they would have just needed the beer on the sidelines, right?
That's right. But that's stuff for another day. We'll talk a little bit more about the Riders roster as the offseason progresses. The opening kickoff brought to you by Kathy Festian of Royal LePage Regina Realty. Check out our Facebook page, Kathy Festian Royal LePage. We may not get time to do this next week, actually, since I'm going to Grey Cup and plans are up in the air and who knows what's going to happen next week. Really quick, the league awards are going to be next week. Predictions. Just tell me who wins. Most outstanding player, Bo Levi Mitchell, Jeremiah Mazzoli.
I like Mazzoli on that one.
Bo Levi Mitchell.
Mitchell will win. The wins are a big difference in that one. Defense, Adam Big Hill, Larry Dean. Is that really a...
Big Hill.
Yeah.
The battle for that one was in the West.
Most outstanding Canadian, Andrew Harris, Brad Sinopoli.
Andrew Harris.
Brad Sinopoli.
I like Brad Sinopoli in this one, too.
He broke a record.
And a former quarterback becoming one of the best receivers in the game. That's another good story, too.
Offensive can we try that with Brandon Bridge?
They tried. He won't do it.
He won't do it. Offensive lineman, Stanley Bryant versus Brandon Revenberg.
Stanley Bryant for the second in a row.
Yeah, Stanley Bryant, yeah.
We saw what that O-line can do. On Sunday.
Special teams, Ty Long, Lewis Ward.
Unless it was an Emmy, it's going to Lewis Ward.
Yeah, Lewis Ward.
I don't know. Ty Long is the most outstanding player out in the West, so. Yeah, it's Lewis Ward. Rookie, Ryder Jordan Williams-Lambert against Lewis Ward of Ottawa.
It's going to be Lewis Ward, yep. But you can't take anything away from Jordan Williams-Lambert.
That season Ward had, it's Ward.
I'd like to see Williams-Lambert get it just because Ward's going to win special teams. So just get another guy a trophy, but it's going to be Lewis Ward.
It's going to depend on the voters if they want to make Ward a double winner.
Yeah.
Him being a kicker might be one of those, really? But yeah, considering a season, he should win.
And finally, Coach Chris Jones and Rick Campbell.
This might be our only award.
Do they vote? They vote on this before the end.
It's before the playoffs. The
Yeah.
It's
Chris Jones.
It used to be after the Grey Cup, and it was always the Grey Cup winner.
Well, that's why Kent Austin won in 07.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Chris Jones, right?
It's gotta be.
Chris Jones?
Yeah, it's Chris Jones. All
right.
Unless it's a diving contest.
West final.
Who would win in a diving contest between Ty Long and Rick Campbell?
Ronnie Dangerfield doing the triple Indy.
West final, Winnipeg at Calgary. Do we as Rider fans care who wins?
I do.
I'm cheering for a stadium fire, as long as everyone gets out safely.
That would give them reason for a new stadium.
There you go, Calgary. See, I'm thinking about you.
The Olympics and may not get a new stadium.
Actually, that was a smart move on Calgary's part. I thought they were going to do something stupid. But I digress.
After all the bitching and moaning about the green and gold lights, or the blue and gold lights.
Or the blue and yellow lights.
I will never say go Stamps because that makes me want to vomit. But I hope Winnipeg gets trounced. And then Calgary goes on and loses in the Grey Cup like they're good at. That's my perfect
way. In accordance with the prophecy, I agree with you on that one.
I'm tired of seeing Calgary in the Grey Cup. I really am. I'm over it.
I enjoy watching them lose,
though. I do too, but I'd rather them lose sooner rather than later.
Yeah, but I don't want to see Winnipeg. I don't want to see Winnipeg have a glimmer of hope.
I don't want it to be third time's a charm for Calgary. I really don't want it to be.
It won't be. And if it is, good for them.
We all know if Winnipeg gets the Grey Cup, they're not going to win it anyway.
Yeah, but I want that streak to continue
until
after my children have children.
I want at least to make 30 years so we can have like a 30-year banner.
That'd be great.
Oh, man, we're so close.
I know.
Speaking of banners, I knew the game was over, the West semifinal and the 15th banner
can come down.
That was a bad
sign. I turned to Amy and I said, that's it, we lost this game. And the guy beside me just started laughing. I'm like, well, things aren't going our way right now. And then we won the coin toss. And he's like, oh, there we go. I'm like, well, all right.
We're now 0-2 when that banner fails.
Yeah. So this is going to be another game where points are at a premium. Both defenses are two of the top three, including the Riders' defenses in the league. But it should be a Chinook. It's supposed to be like 15 degrees at game time.
Yeah.
So that shouldn't change things too much, but I just Me personally, I think Winnipeg has all the momentum. They have their defense playing out of this world. Their receivers aren't hurt. I think they have the advantage.
Calgary's getting a bunch of their receivers back. I know Mark and Mitchell was practicing today. It was Daniels, I think, was too.
Yeah. They're
getting healthy at the right time.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think actually Calgary takes this one. And that's not just because I hate Winnipeg. I just think Calgary takes this one. And because I hate Calgary too.
I can't cheer for Winnipeg to, or not cheer for them, but I cannot in good conscience want them to win.
I just hope they beat the crap out of each other. Not where anybody gets hurt by any means, because I don't want that. I just want to see some, I just want to be entertained in this one. I really don't care.
Yeah.
Other than the fact that ABC. But we'll do our game picks in just a minute here.
An ABWPG?
Yeah. Honestly, if my team doesn't win, I don't want my rival teams to win either.
Go East. Said,
go Stadium Fire.
Go East teams.
Yep.
And actually, I mentioned this. I don't want my rivals to win. Think about this as hockey. We're all Pittsburgh Penguins fans. Would you guys ever want the Philadelphia Flyers to win?
Hell no.
No, but having seen the Washington Capitals win, I loved every minute of that.
Okay, well, that was a celebration that was so epic. We didn't realize how much we needed that to happen.
I never want to see it again.
No more effing suck.
Yeah.
Winnipeg can keep effing suck.
Yeah.
Okay, well let's go out east here. Hamilton at Ottawa. Ottawa swept the season series against Hamilton. We always say it's hard to win back-to-back games. It's hard to win three games against one team in a single season. Can Ottawa win four against the same team?
Easily. This game's not going to be close.
I don't really.
Nope.
I believe in the power of Ric Flair.
44-8.
Nope.
I know it was against a BC team that
has looked like bad for a month.
But still, that's an impressive win by Hamilton in the semifinal.
Doesn't scare me. If I'm Ottawa, I'm going in confident just the same.
And that'll be their downfall.
Yeah, that could be. But they've got the Eastern nominee for Coach of the Year on their sidelines. And
yeah, we got the Western
Hamilton,
one.
Hamilton has the mop.
Oh, that's a good point. I don't see it.
I like Hamilton's run game a lot better than Ottawa's. Ottawa's actually last in overall rushing.
Which seems odd with a guy like William
Powell.
When they
have the second leading rusher in the league. But Mazzoli just, he can run it at any time as well. Alex Green has looked good. I think this is going to be a better game than the West.
I think this is
in terms of
this will be a hell of a game
and high scoring, higher scoring, and just a little bit more, you know, bigger plays. I think this is going to be a much bigger game. Plus,
it's because there's no defenses in that game.
That's very true. So let's pick these games. We'll start out east since that's going to be the early game. Hamilton and Ottawa. Who's going to the Grey Cup?
Ottawa by double digits.
I think it'll end up being Ottawa, but I got to stick with my Hamilton preseason pick. I'm going with Hamilton.
Hamilton's the one team left in the league that I wouldn't mind seeing win a cup.
They haven't won in so long, too. Only the Bombers have a longer losing streak in Grey Cups than them.
Yep.
I can stay that way.
Is it 99?
99, yeah, when they beat Calgary. And
We could have a banner year for them next year.
Yeah, I know.
But I don't want to see Ottawa win two cups in their first 4 years. Get the hell out of here.
They'd be unbearable.
They were unbearable with already. One.
They're unbearable already. Winnipeg and Calgary.
Calgary.
Winnipeg. Yeah. I really think Winnipeg wins this. You okay, Steve? A little bit of stuff coming up.
Oh. No.
There's no winner in this game. There really isn't. Everybody loses because one of these teams is going to the Grey Cup.
There's a bigger loser. And that's
the people that are paying to see these guys playing the Grey Cup, Alex.
Good job, dummy.
Sucker.
I didn't pay much, so.
There you go.
But, okay. Next week is the Grey Cup. That's fun, right? But also bittersweet because then the season's over. That sucks.
Oh, man. And it feels like this is going to be a longer off season than last one. Last one just went like.
I guarantee it will be.
With the CBA, it's going to be a long off season.
Players are already wearing their CFLPA stuff during press conferences trying to show solidarity. So this is going to be a fight.
They need to get together quick and get it all figured out because that new league coming in, the last thing they need to do is piss around.
But that's not the way these guys do it. Every time there's a negotiation, it ends up going right into training camp.
It's like every union, though. They wait until the last possible day. There's no negotiations until right before. It's like every other union.
We're watching it with the NLL right now.
Yeah, exactly. But that's going to do it for us this week here on the Piffles Podcast. Thank you for joining us and listening to us rant and rave about the riders all season. We'll do more of that, obviously, in the off season here. And once we get more rider news, I'm sure there'll be a couple more player signings in the next couple weeks. Maybe not next week, just because the league usually puts that no signing clause out there. But I'm sure we'll hear something shortly after the Grey Cup.
No, that's, yeah, that's when they all come out.
So, give us a follow on Twitter at PifflesPod. You can follow me at RealAlexD.
You can follow me at Safamod.
Follow me at Greg on Sports.
We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. Check us out on Instagram, just search PifflesPod. And go to the website, PifflesPodcast.com. We actually all did our top five must-sign rider free agents and pretty consensus on
what those I love were. The fact our walks are all pretty much all the same.
Pretty much. So, it's I mean, when you look at that list, there you know who you need and who you don't need on that. So check that out on the website, PifflesPodcast.com. And of course, Piffles Podcast, brought to you by our great friends at Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive in Regina. Special thanks as well to Kathy Festian of Royal LePage Regina Realty, Tallgrass Apparel, Churchill Brewing Company, and Cypress Hills Destination Area for their support to make this show possible. Time to leave you. This is Beauty Keel the Beast, one of our featured artists of 2018, Hometown.